So in the Netherlands, you get a calling name and birth names. So I have four birth names. And then Geert, my calling name. Now, my full name is Gerardus Hendrikus Johannes Maria Bullen.
Wow. That's the intro right there.
That is awesome.
That is the intro to this.
You could like turn girls on with that. Say that again. It's
just eye roll.
She doesn't look very turned on.
The biggest eye roll.
There is a podcast in Iowa, Funk for Profit, was named by they. They stirred up a banker near, then quick came an auctioneer. Making profit was their first goal, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. These formats shook us to our core, with Funk for Fun you will not snore. Banker set all mics to on, and the mullet of podcasts was born. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. Before we knew, conversations grew. Growing corn even said F you. So won't you join Tenor Dave, Corey, and crew? Please like, share, review. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go.
You aren't farming for fun if you didn't plant on high speeds with your low speed planter.
Welcome to your new favorite Farm for Fun episode. This is Tanner Woodrop.
This is Corey Hillebo.
And this is David Whitaker.
Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time and listening to our show. Don't forget to please share this with your friends. Go out there, hit like, rate, review, subscribe.
How do you know that this is their new favorite?
Oh, I know who the guest is.
Oh.
Oh, my.
So you know.
And I feel like every time we put a new show out, it's got to be their new favorite episode.
Well, it was definitely this listener's favorite, if you read our review, at UHFDRGBNNK.
Ufgerdungbunk.
Yeah, like UHF channel. I'd give 6 stars if I could. Out of a scale 1 to 5, 6 stars, that's fantastic. Very well done podcast with equal fun and educational. It's the Mullet Agriculture Podcast.
So, you know, it doesn't say that was 6 on a scale of 1 to 5. It just said I would like to give this 6 stars
well,
if I could.
Well, I'm going
to
preface this and tell you that was out of 1 to 5.
But he gave 5, so you can just kind of put two together there. So.
That was today's Head of the Class listener review brought to you by Gearinghoff. Remember, they are head of the class no matter the crop. Premium harvesting heads for all your harvesting needs. Our listener reviews are exactly what we need to continue to bring these new favorite episodes to your ears.
Yep.
Remember to check them out for any of your harvesting needs this year.
So we also got to talk about Ag Leader.
We don't got it. We want to.
Yeah. Well, I have to talk about them because I was just using stuff and it was awesome. I was going back and forth in the field using GPS, rolling some beans. I've never rolled beans before. And it kept me off the row perfectly.
Nice.
The old InCommand 1200. Heck yeah.
So you're saying that they have a solution for every task?
Every task, every season. I used them to plant, harvest, spray.
So easy your dad could do it?
Well, in my case, it's probably best to say so easy I could do it, because dad and I are opposite of what like typically happens.
Oh, okay.
So dad is the tech guy.
Oh.
He's the tech guru. I'm the guy that's sitting there, you know, when it doesn't work, like, I could just drive it, which is completely weird.
I don't feel like this is going very smoothly at all, but don't forget, listeners, to go check out Ag Leader to see if they've got a solution for your farm.
Yeah.
I think like it's about time that we quit messing around. What do you think?
Absolutely. Let's get our guest introduced since it's Shut the new favorite. And sit down. On today's Farm for Fun podcast, we are joined by a very special guest with a huge following on TikTok. 1.7 million followers to be exact. We met this cool guy at the after party at the Travis Burkhart Foundation benefit auction and instantly said, you need to get your ass on the podcast. He's an immigrant from the Netherlands, has tons of cool videos and experience in the dairy industry. Recently, he's made a career change where he is head of operations for an awesome produce farm. He attended the College of Iowa State University and currently lives just down the road in Ames, Iowa. Mr. Huey B. Cool.
All right.
What's up, Huey? And Annie.
That's right. Annie will be on a little bit later. We didn't have enough mics set up, and we don't want to leave her out. But I think, Corey, that is got to be one of my new favorite intros that you've ever done.
Really?
So we got a new favorite guest and one of my new favorite intros. You nailed that.
Yes.
huge.
Except for the
huge.
Hat.
I'm honored.
Except for the hat.
Huge. That's great. Huey, welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for making the long trek across miles and miles of, just down the road.
I think it was like four turns maybe now. So
Four turns.
Not very far.
A lot closer than where you would have been about a month or two ago?
Yes, a month ago. Yep, exactly.
So let's tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. What was little Huey like, and how'd you get to where you are?
So let's see. We'll take it back to the Netherlands. I grew up in the Netherlands in 96, so I'm 24. And I grew up on a small dairy farm. We milked about, in the Netherlands, it was a big dairy farm. We milked about 130 cows. And we were the biggest on our milk route, which I was very proud of, because I would always go with the milk hauler, and I would always keep track of the neighbor's stats. And you're like, no worries, Dad. We're
BTO
the biggest.
BTO milker.
BTO milker. Yeah.
No worries. We're the biggest one on the route. But grew up on a dairy farm, and went to school there till I was 12. We moved to Brooklyn, Iowa, and on a dairy farm as well. It was an existing dairy farm, capacity for about 400 cows, and had about 250 cows at the time. And we immediately, when we bought the farm, immediately started building, added a barn for another 400 cows. And since I can remember, every summer we've been building on the farm.
Always expanding.
It's always building. And so we grew it out to be about 1,500 right now. So that's how much the dairy is milking. And
that's your family?
Yeah, yeah. Mom and Dad.
So what made them want to leave the Netherlands and come here to Brooklyn, Iowa?
Yeah, not even Brooklyn, New York. We're talking Brooklyn, Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a lot. There's like five or six Brooklyns in the United States. Yeah. Yeah. There's like Minnesota, Michigan, New York, Iowa. But
you couldn't milk many cows in Brooklyn, New York, I don't think.
No.
Nope.
So why the United States? Well, the Netherlands, there's a big push to kind of push out farmers and stuff, because of the nitrogen that they put out and stuff, and methane, and like everybody just keeps complaining about farmers there. Like there's very negative view on farmers there.
Yep.
And so like growing up, it was always like, oh, you're a farmer, you stink, you know?
So kind of like California.
I don't know what California exactly is like, but maybe.
I mean, it seems like it does kind of seem like there has been a more of a negative mentality or towards farmers in the United States, and I think a lot of that comes with climate and change and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it almost sounds like you're telling a story that we could be getting into, and I hope not. I hope that's not the case. But continue. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah. Well. You can kind of see it already happening a little bit.
Yep.
But for instance, I like the sound of that. Yeah.
Bush.
Bush. Yeah. For instance, over there, I think it's two summers ago, the government came in and said you have to cull 10% of your herd, like all the dairy farmers.
The government said this?
Just came in and said cull 10% of the herd.
Well, that's not very nice to animals.
Nitrogen, because of nitrogen output and stuff and whatever. And
cow farts.
Yeah, pretty much. Cow farts. And it was a big push for the government. And at the time, they bought us out. The government did. And so right now there's a fish trap on our farm. It's a little river fish trap with a little bike path and some benches and stuff.
Okay.
So some nature.
In the Netherlands.
Yeah. That's what our farm is now. It wasn't like a huge farm, but
still,
that's what it is now. So
they went to the extreme of trying to create wildlife.
Yeah. Yep. I think it's a fish trap for, I think it's salmon.
But natural conservation.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And
perceived.
Yeah. So then, my parents, they were looking for different places to move to, like Germany or Canada there were options. The United States was one of them, and we visited Iowa in 2008. Me and my two older siblings, my parents, we visited Iowa in 2008, and we toured Dutch dairy farmers, kind of to see how they're doing over here and stuff, yep. and talked to them and just kind of got to know them, and we still keep in contact with some of those people that we met back in 2008. And we just toured the farms, and then after the tour in 2008, went back and we're like, okay, so do we want to do this? Our parents asked yep. us, you know, would you want to move here if you had the option?
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, yeah, sure, because yeah. it was cool.
You yeah. know,
America, mm-hmm. it's cool.
Yeah.
Endless opportunities, the American dream.
I was just going to say that.
Exactly. yeah. And so like, okay, well, let's do it. And 6 months after that, the farm, or 8 months after that, roughly, the farm was bought in Brooklyn. And then we moved over. And then, let's see, in a month after that, so that was July 3rd of 2009 was landing day for us.
Hmm.
So, and the
that was pretty quick, 2008 to 2009. So this was a year.
Yeah. When we decided we wanted to move, we made the move pretty quick. Yeah. And the logic behind July 3rd was my mom said, you know, we can go July 3rd because July 4th is a holiday, and then we can go out in the town and meet everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was
there
the
is logic behind
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So.
So did you fly all the cows overseas as well to come to Brooklyn, Iowa, or did you just buy new?
No, we had to sell everything. We just, you know, because, well, not everything, I guess. We took over a couple containers of our stuff and some equipment. And, like, we have a 1970s Volvo old tractor that we took over as well. And then some other stuff in container, house stuff. Pretty much just wrapped up everything that...
That would fit?
Yeah, pretty much. And then all the cows we sold as well, just to, you know, whoever would buy them and stuff. So, yeah. And
that's a big move.
That is a
so then are giant you, move. So then are you milking or in Brooklyn on the dairy? I should say, is it still in operation? The United States dairy?
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, then yeah. are you milking the same breed of cows that you were in the Netherlands?
We had Red Holsteins over there, and I think Ayrshire as well.
Okay.
But now it's just mostly Black Holsteins. And then we have some Jerseys, Baby Jersey. And some Brown Swiss as well. And like three or four Angus that were just like, you don't give any milk. What are you doing?
You're milking Angus? That's the first time I've ever heard anyone milking Angus.
Well, yeah. They're not like full Angus, but yeah, it's just like,
you know, if shit hits enough. The fan, at least you'll have a good steak.
That's right. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Well, let's jump in here. Quick intersection with one of our first beers. Still staying on the Back Pocket Brewing train from Dole Distributing. We've got a kind of a mixed bag today, as we have a surprise beer.
So I got a question.
Yeah.
I heard on a radio ad this week, I was listening to the radio, and they said Dole Distributing. Is it Dole, like Dole, or Dole, like D-O-L, or is it just like a Dole?
I don't know, Corey.
I've seen them joke about it before.
Are we saying it wrong?
On social media, and they say, no, we're not a Dole. But I think that's how you say it. We're
okay.
Not, we're not the what you play with, but that's how you say it.
So when I say Dole, I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
Dole. Yeah, you're like the banana company.
Shimini Christmas.
So
no, either way,
they're not a Dole.
Yeah.
You're right, Dole. Because you're saying Dole.
We're now just going to say it different every time.
Back Pocket Brewing. Here we
thanks,
go.
thanks to Dole Distributing.
Yeah.
For dropping this beer off. So this is a different one. This actually is a white label. I think it's not out on shelves yet.
I feel like I want it, when I look at this name, I want to say it in a different voice.
Do it.
No, you better not.
What is it? Hey, honey. It's actually called Hey, Honey.
Hey, Honey.
Hey, Honey. We ale. Like, how do you think Hey, Honey sounds?
I think it sounds good.
4.6 alcohol and 18 IBU, since we keep track of that now.
I'm glad I got the camera on Dave, because he about threw up in his mouth. As a good start.
There's like a second dryness, like a wine, and then...
This kind of reminds me of like a Belgian wheat, like a lighter.
It is.
But I like it. It's refreshing.
I enjoy it. I don't know why I was expecting lemon when I heard honey, but there's no lemon in it at all. This is... Wow. I don't know. I get a
little bit of honey, like way aftertaste.
Yeah.
Since we're keeping track of IBUs now, Tanner, and you're a document person. Chart person, I expect like Dave's review correlated to IBUs.
IBUs,
like
yes.
Like a bar chart or a graph or of some sort.
Overlap.
Since you're sitting with a lot of time on your hands.
Yep, all the time.
In the office.
All the time, absolutely. Well, that's good. Thank you, Dole.
Dole.
For dropping this beer off. Back to Huey. So we are now in the United States. We've got a dairy up and running. What happens next?
How old are you now? You're 13 12. When you moved over here? 12?
So 12, and I turned 13 like 2 months okay. after we moved here. I had to go back because we were still on a tourist visa. And
you had to go back?
Yes.
But you own ground here and have an offer. Okay.
Yes. So I went to school for like 2 weeks here and then had to go back because the tourist visa ran out. And we just went back into sets, I guess, so we wouldn't travel with the whole family, just in case we were held up in immigration or something.
Yeah.
And so we went over to the Netherlands, were there for like 3 or 4 days, came back. This is my dad, my little brother, and I, and one of our old family friends. He wanted to come over and help out on the farm. Because he's, you know, also America. Cool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Holy crap, you have a farm in America. That's really cool. And he didn't know, like, a lick of English. And this is already a recipe for disaster. And we were like, okay, so just go over to a different line so that you're not with us. And so there's no attention drawn to us. And he's like, no, I can't, because I can't speak English. Okay, fine. So he goes in the line with us, and he's like, okay, I'm going to... So they're like, what are you doing here? Well, I'm going to go to them to help on their farm. Like, farm? What are you talking about? And they're like,
oh.
We were still on our tourist visa, and then
yeah.
this immigration officer is just like, come on with me. spent like, I'd say like 4 or 5 hours in like just a little office immigrations. And in the waiting room for immigrations. And then I had to go back on the next flight to Amsterdam.
Oh, you didn't even get to come over. Like, nope. Turn right around and go back home.
Yep.
Oh, my.
So they and they held our passports until, this is kind of funny, they held our passports until we're at least halfway over the ocean. And they said, we're doing this because just in case the plane crashes, you won't have your passports so that the U.S. Coast Guard won't rescue you.
What?
What? That sounds like stuff out of a movie.
And they said that out loud?
Yeah. That's literally what they said. So the flight attendant they held our passports until the like 3/4 through the flight. And we're like, "Can we get our passports back?" Yeah, sure.
Do you honestly think if like the plane did a water landing and they had choppers and boats out there, they're like, "Let me see your passport before you get in here." Bullshit.
Right. Every man for themselves, not.
Yeah. So, but that was a good welcome, Minneapolis Airport. So
you've been here since 2009.
2009.
And you have gained your, I'm assuming, full citizenship
Not, I'm a permanent resident, not a citizen yet, so.
And how does that, I mean, so is it because the process is?
The only thing is I can't vote, and I get disqualified for jury duty.
Oh, bummer.
Well, that sounds like better than what we got.
I was going to say, it kind of sounds like a win right now. No voting and no jury duty. Yeah.
Which I did get selected for jury duty.
How are you even on the list?
I have no idea.
Tied to it, probably.
My sister has too, which same deal. Doesn't work.
So are you going to become a full citizen?
Yes.
Yeah. Just...
I plan on doing
it. Is it
that.
Just a... I mean, I've never done it. I am assuming it's quite the process.
Yeah, it's a lengthy process.
Yeah.
In the process.
So in your opinion, that should probably be easier?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, so we were... we had to go back. We were sent back. And then about like 6 weeks went by until we finally got our visas to come over. And then, got everything sorted out that way. In the meantime... When we went back, my grandpa was over here running the farm for a little bit. So that worked out.
That's why you kind of went in chunks, is that way someone could be here to take care of it.
Yep. So
you have a family farm. You said grandpa came, parents came, sister came. So like the whole extended family came.
Oh, no. So I guess I'll have to go back. So my family, there is my mom, dad, older brother, older sister,
okay,
myself, and then two younger brothers. So there's five kids.
Gotcha.
Yeah, seven of us. And just seven of us came over.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
My grandpa and grandma, you know, they would come by and visit, you know, often, but
cool.
They lived over there.
I was going to say, as often as they can, coming from the Netherlands, it's not like just driving up from Des Moines.
Just pop by.
So you came here, you went to school, and then you went to college, and you chose Iowa State. So what was your major at Iowa State?
Well, I first went to community college in Creston, Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Swick.
1 year. Swick. Good old Swick University.
Did you ever get your hair cut by Ken Foster or Ken's Barbershop on Main Street?
No, it was not on Main Street. It was just the little place right around the corner from Swick.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Huh. Anyways.
Small world. Ken's my grandpa.
Small world. Yeah. Ken's your grandpa.
Oh, nice.
He's cool. Probably too expensive.
That's right. <white. Yep. laughs> Gotta keep those margins up. I mean, no, that's where the money's made.
Gotta respect it. Yeah. But so I went to community college for a year to run cross country and track. And after that, I went to Iowa State. And major was ag business and minor in entrepreneurship that I declared. I got the minor, like, I think maybe two or a year before graduating, or year and a half maybe.
Yeah, he actually went to school with my brother.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah. Same. Which is same like, transfer class.
He kept asking me. He's like, you know who Huey be cool? And I'm like, no. And then he showed me. He was the one that actually showed me you on TikTok. And it's kind of like, how the heck does someone have a million followers and I haven't seen them? But that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. TikTok is weird.
You're old. Different age demographic.
He's 25.
So yeah. That now that you bring up TikTok, so when in this story does TikTok come in? When do you start getting on the app?
Just September of 2019.
So would you had graduated from Iowa State then?
Yes. Yep. So graduated in May of 2019. Did SciStarters, which is a business accelerator.
Entrepreneur, yeah.
Yep. And Annie and I had one hop shop, a cricket farming business that we sold.
Oh, yeah.
Sold crickets to people and then also later to pets. That we took that business through the accelerator, and then we traveled to, in October of 2019, we traveled to Hawaii for 3 days, Australia for 3 days, and Thailand for 3 days, the Netherlands for 3 days, or 3 or 4 days, and then London for a couple days, and then went back to the United States to visit a bunch of insect farming places. So each stop we met with insect farmers or insect industry related.
And that
people.
Was on your own, or was that like a study abroad
deal? This was sponsored by the Ag Entrepreneurship Initiative at Iowa State. They put us up, and it was amazing. Yeah. It was really nice.
Sounds like awesome a good trip. Experience.
So what happened? Awesome. What happened to the IHOP shop? What'd you call it?
It's one hop shop.
One hop, like
not
crickets.
IHOP, not pancakes.
Yeah, Eileen works.
So do you still have one hop shop?
We don't really do much with it right now. I do want to do something with insects in the future, which I don't know if it's going to be under the same name. I'm thinking not, but we'll see.
I had crickets last year. Didn't I bring those in?
I don't remember if you brought them in or not. I've had them from Jiminy crickets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Delicious.
I just
absolutely to die for.
I mean, it was edible. It was edible. I'll just say that.
Kind of like this.
I think
last.
Good.
No, I'm just kidding.
from Dahl Distributing.
Yeah, from Dahl.
Before we dive into the TikTok thing, while we're still somewhat on his
history
transition over here,
uh-huh.
I am interested. So you talked about the American dream a couple of times, and you had it when you were a little kid growing up. And now that you've been here for a while, is it everything you ever thought it could be?
Well, I guess I didn't really know what to expect when I was like 12 moving over here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the American dream is still very much alive.
Yeah.
It's not like,
I mean, you're not going to hurt our feelings either way. Like if you,
right. I mean, I would say that, yeah, it has lived up to its expectations.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I'm in a better place now than I was over
That's
there.
Good. I mean, because we could sit there and say, you know, Amsterdam and all that, and people will vacation there and you can do whatever the hell you want. You know, used to be, you can smoke weed all the time over there. And I mean, we're getting to that point here and stuff like that. But like, if people wanted to party, they'd go over there and drink absinthe and smoke weed. And
at least that's what was in the movie.
I was going to say, that's just what was in Eurotrip.
That's in Eurotrip, exactly.
So I've known a couple people that
it's interesting. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, and there's not a lot of people that leave their comfort zone.
Leave home, let alone leave the country.
Might be a new job, might be a lot of stuff. So you're talking a big old move there. I can't imagine the stress that was on your parents.
Yeah, they've had a lot of stress through that for sure.
Well, how many kids? Six? Five?
Five.
Yeah, that's stress.
Just the kids alone is stress.
And then dairy farming to boot. There's no days off at that point. Like, I mean,
No, there's no days off. No.
I suppose, you probably put them on TikTok too, and then that's a little stress. I got to hold up to the bar. Huey, be cool. Yeah. So how is it Huey, be cool? How did that come about? I mean, I got the Huey, be part.
I have no idea. I didn't take TikTok serious at all, and just, I don't know, some people say I just sent it.
Yeah.
And I just picked a username, said Hugh would be cool. Sounds good.
Awesome.
Whatever. Like, I just,
it stuck.
Yeah. And I just, I don't know. It's easy to find, I think. And I don't know. It's different.
I liked it. I was trying to figure out who has the last name Cool. You know, I just was, when I first was following him, and sitting there going, that's kind of neat.
I mean, it's kind of a play on words, like Huey
be. Oh, I totally get it. Absolutely.
Like Johnny be good.
When I figured it out, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Totally get it. You can't believe everything that's out on TikTok. But listeners, I don't know if I caught it in Corey's intro, but this is our first verified guest on the podcast.
I did not get that in my intro.
The blue
check mark.
We are big time right now. That's why you leave your reviews, like, rate, and share the podcast, because we can get high quality entertainment like
that's
you.
That's right.
I'm honored.
I mean, most people with a blue check mark, you can't even get to respond to
that's
the DMs.
True. Yeah, let alone show up at your house.
That's one thing you were telling me, though. I was asking about your TikTok. You said one of the things you did is respond to everybody, right?
Try to respond. You still, no.
She can try it.
It is tough. It's tough, like, and I'm a small account, but, like, most messages I can respond to, I don't get many of those. But, like, comments, I miss so many of those. Used to try to respond to everyone.
So, that's, I think, what helps a lot of, like, a lot of big videos is when you, because I have a couple of videos that, well, there's one video I can't explain. It's got 51 million views.
Holy cow.
And it's 8 seconds long, and it's just of a cow jumping over a little concrete ledge.
Yep.
I thought you were going to say the moon.
No.
You could Photoshop that.
That'd be more than 51 million. 51 million views, and it's like, it's just a cow jumping over a little concrete ledge, and I'm just, there's no caption. I didn't put any caption on that video, just nothing, just put it up there. And another one is, that it went viral in India, which in India they worship cows.
Okay.
So that was my theory, is a lot of early success is when India, TikTok was really popular in India. Now it's banned in India.
Oh, really? Wow.
Along with like 59 other apps from China.
So like at least half of your followers are probably banned then, is what you're saying.
There's like 15 or 16%. If you go on analytics, you know, that's from India.
Right.
So, you know, 16%, that's probably 250,000 or whatever. Yeah. So that's lost. But let's see.
I don't have analytics. You guys have analytics on the back end of yours?
You got to get a pro account.
Don't think I do.
Don't have a pro account.
You got to have a pro account.
By no means am I pro.
Creator account.
A creator account.
Yeah.
I have not done that.
Yeah. But the one video that I, while I was making it, I was like, okay, this is one that's going to go viral for sure. And it didn't go viral when I posted it, but I just kept replying to comments. Like, I probably replied to over 1,000 comments in one video. And as it was going viral too, because, like, you know, you can, it's really easy to do because if you're on your phone and the notifications are coming in, you can just click on it and then it's already typing for you in TikTok. I think it is anyways. Like, I think it's already typing for you, or you just have to click on it one more time. Like, it's very easy to do. And you just leave an emoji or, you know,
something simple and
something
quick.
Really quick. Yep. Yeah.
That's nuts to think about, though, that you have your notifications on.
I don't.
I was going to say, I turn mine off.
Because
my battery would just burn up.
I only have my notifications on for like text messages or like work stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. It's too
otherwise,
much.
You'd just be on TikTok all day long.
Well, I just, I wouldn't have my phone.
Because if you're like me, if you're like me, like I see that little red bubble of like you have three that's notifications. Why they invented it. It's like, man. I have to get rid of that thing.
Marketers use push notifications all the time.
We were playing at a golf outing 2 weeks ago and found a phone on the golf course and picked it up. There was like 397 unopened email. It just, this person had to have been a crazy person because there was nothing cleared.
Oh, geez.
They had all kind of notifications, everything. And I really, really wanted to meet the person just so I could walk up to him and be like,
"Can I just
clear okay?
Can I clear your inbox for you? Fine?"
And I am not kidding you. I can't make this up. We got it rang twice while we were there. First time we answered, nobody said anything. Second time they called, we answered, and they were asking for rent due. So maybe that's why they didn't answer their emails and stuff. Is probably because they didn't want to face their problems. But
I'm just gonna go play a round of golf and leave my phone there.
At a bank golf outing.
Yep. Absolutely.
One thing I didn't throw in my intro is, you do have a pretty big YouTube account, too. I think I saw like 49 or 50,000 subscribers, something like that.
Yeah.
That's where the big money's made.
Which, that's not, my YouTube's actually not monetized.
Really?
Yeah, because most of those subscribers are, I think, either just from TikTok or from one video, which is a short. And on YouTube, you don't get paid, or it doesn't count for public watch hours, the shorts. Which is like a new feature, and that video has 39 million views.
Holy cow!
And it doesn't count for the public watch hours.
Oh man!
So that was the interesting thing I noticed before we taste this next beer in your TikTok timeline, is you went from having a whole bunch of dairy cows in your content to very few dairy cows. So if we jump ahead to that transition, what happened and why?
So I left the family farm about a month ago to work for an indoor farm here in Ames. And we have weekly harvests of lettuce and microgreens, and we have free delivery to people's doors. And that was a decision I made to, so I'm 24 and I've been doing dairy farming my whole life, which is like, I'll say that I started at six, 15, 16 years, whatever. And it's been a long time of dairy farming, so
right.
I figured I'd try something else. Because dairy farming, you have to be, the only way you can really make more money than your neighbor is to control your costs, which is extremely hard, and it keeps getting harder and harder. And I just thought I would try something else, and this was what I landed on. I like Ames. I went to college here, and it's a good community to be in.
So what was your connection to this indoor farm?
So I knew the founder of the indoor farm, and through entrepreneurship programs, and just through connections in the startup community in the area. And I asked if he knew any opportunities in the area. And then he reached out back to me, and he said, we actually have some opportunities, and we think you'd work out well for us. So
that's kind of cool.
And this is called Nebulum. Did you say that?
Yes, Nebulum.
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 Eatlettuce.com is the website.
Eatlettuce.com.
Nice. I thought that's what Nebulum stood for, and I was sitting around, how did you get eat lettuce out of Nebulum?
But you guys are also, you're doing more than lettuce, and it sounds like more coming down the line, right?
Yeah. Yep. We have some tomatoes as well that are, we're slowly onboarding people for tomatoes. We have a wait list. Slowly onboarding people for tomatoes, and then we're also gonna venture into different products in the future, like cucumbers or peppers.
So would this be considered a CSA, like a community supported ag delivery, or have you seen those, like where people are growing a garden and they your farm might,
this is subscription based,
your farm might provide the lettuce, and then this farm over here might provide the cucumbers, and then this farm might provide cheese, and then like,
so we would just be the supplier for like one product of that.
You guys aren't joining anybody else, or you're not selling to the grocery store?
We sell to Wheatsfield Co-op in Ames, and then we're in the East Hy-Vee in Ames as well. Okay.
Cool.
So one Hy-Vee now.
So how long does it take to grow lettuce?
Hold on. Before we dive into the Nebulum story, let's taste this beer. Yes. I think we've had this one on the podcast before, but another Back Pocket Brewing. This is the ray gun. Oh, that's what it is. This is the volume 2. We had the ray gun 1.
Ray gun. We did. Nice.
And this is the volume 2. So this is an India Pale Ale. 6.2.
Church it up for Dave.
ABV.
Church it up.
For all my fans in India.
It's an IPA, Dave.
Yeah. I can smell it from here.
Give it a tip back and taste.
Try it.
We've created this juice bomb of an IPA, graciously hopped with the Citra and Mosaic hops to give it a tropical aroma and bold Citra flavor.
It's not what I expected out of an IPA. It's almost like a juice.
It was very smooth.
It's better than the white label that we tasted last in my book. And it's got a cat with a pistol in its hand on the deal. I mean, how cool is that?
Back pocket out of Coralville, Iowa.
Very cool.
The Ray Gun Volume 2.
Pretty good.
Thank you, Dahl Distributing.
Dahl. How long, as Dave said, how long does it take to grow a head of lettuce?
Yeah, so how long does it take to grow a head of lettuce?
Or is it a head, even?
Yes.
It is.
Yes. We go by heads. Well, we just go by square footage, mainly.
Because when I think of a head of lettuce, I think of, like, the iceberg. Like, that's a head.
That's what I think of, too. Right? Yeah.
But so these aren't necessarily that.
You can buy those in the store in Hy-Vee as well. Just get the head of lettuce with the root and stuff on it still. Mm-hmm. But we actually will pinch off the root and stuff and then put just the lettuce in the bag, which that's just, you can just eat that right out of the bag. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it takes about 7 weeks.
I thought I saw one of your TikToks. It was like 3 weeks or whatever. Maybe you're just watching the growth.
Well, there is the nursery. Like they're 3 weeks in the nursery and then 4 weeks or 3 weeks in the vertical or horizontal unit, depending on which one.
Okay, 3 weeks from when you place it. Because this is all considered hydroponics.
So we do hydroponics, and then we also have aeroponics, high-pressure aeroponics. So it's the roots. Yes, the roots are misted with nutrients and water. So
really?
There's a mister that, so there's plants that grow, you've seen in my videos, the plants, the wall of lettuce. Mm-hmm.
It's vertical. This is considered vertical farming.
Yeah, vertical farming. So the wall of lettuce, and inside that wall, there's a mister that goes up and down to spray the roots. And that's how they get their nutrients and water.
So this is precision vegetable growing, basically.
Yeah.
And the reason for the vertical is obviously you're capturing the space up and down that you normally wouldn't be instead of like sitting on a flat.
Yeah.
Because obviously you're not using the space above the flat.
Yeah. It like 10x's the space utilization.
But you're indoors. So is it like a sunroof or are you doing it all with grow lights?
Grow lights. Yep. So there's a light rail that's a mobile light rail, which it reduces, costs of the structure and stuff as well because it's mobile. So you don't need as many lights.
So I'm surprised that Wheatsfield buys this because when I think of Wheatsfield,
I think organic
and I think nothing genetically modified, nothing.
We haven't said anything about that.
I know, but nothing like out of the norm, like straight up regular old farming. And this doesn't sound like regular old farming. This sounds like new age George Jetson farming.
Well, just so you know, M.L on their website says lettuce and microgreens loved it. Holy moly.
Yeah, I was going to say this. You say that, but I do also think this has... Oh, it looks beautiful. He's pulling out a head of lettuce.
Huh.
These are one-pound bags.
That's a one-pound bag is what he said. And that is one of the perks of having a podcast.
Dude, I'd be as skinny as you if I ate that every day.
Well, now you can subscribe. If you go to nebulum.com or eatlettuce.com.
Yep.
They both went to the same place.
Do you sell ranch, too? I mean, I like ranch on my lettuce, just saying. But
I bet you this is such good-tasting lettuce, you won't even
need
ranch.
It's kind of like a good steak. You don't even need ketchup,
just
right?
A little pepper.
And you were saying Wheatsfield. Like, I don't think it has to be organic there. I think they just like local produce and things like that. I mean, if you grew it in your garden and used fertilizer on it, you know, whatever, I'm pretty sure they'd take it as long as you had a sustainable product that you could keep bringing them. That was good, you know.
I also saw one of your TikToks, you had pea shoots.
Yep.
And I should know what a pea shoot does. You don't actually grow peas out of a pea shoot, or do you?
Well, peas are in a pot, aren't they?
Right, but these were
but
shoots.
No, he's talking more like what you'd have in like
Chinese
food.
These are microgreens, Yes. This is like a topping.
So
for
that's
your
food. The microgreen.
That's the microgreen.
So what is a microgreen? Just small and green?
You know, I can't like define that. like technically.
But this is like a seed and emergence.
It's so like, this is like the sprouts that I'd put on my Jimmy John's sandwich.
Jimmy John's.
Yes.
I do like Jimmy John's. Number 11, Country Club. They're the best. No tomato.
Jimmy John's, super fast.
Freaky fast.
It's pretty good. No free ads.
Just cool. I haven't ever talked to anybody with this kind of technology before. But the way it's set up is you're growing indoors, and you can set up on a subscription base, but then you also deliver it. That was kind of neat. You guys had a bunch of bags on a big, long rod tube.
Yep.
Yeah, just that was just a way for us to carry it all out. So, yeah.
Good marketing.
We get about, about 100 pounds a week right now we're selling. That's between, you know, a couple of restaurants, Hawk, Mars Cafe, Hy-Vee, East Hy-Vee, and then Wheatsfield.
I never would have thought about this. Like, I've had crazy ideas in my head before because I'm kind of entrepreneurial as well, but I never would have thought, like, let's make a business where we'll grow lettuce and that'll be our business and then we'll just deliver it. It's a cool idea, though, and apparently they're succeeding, so kudos. So
I'm assuming, like, only certain plant types grow well in this type of system. Am I right in saying that, or can you grow anything in there?
You can grow a lot of different things.
Okay.
You can grow a lot of different things in there.
I mean, because you're...
What about sweet corn?
Ooh, hey, you got an idea there.
I don't know. Have to try it.
That's a great idea. So year round, you got to wait for that every...
That's right.
Oh, man.
Is there some teasers that you can say that's coming down the line that works good in your system that you guys are looking into, or is that, like, not available?
Right now, the next ones we're looking at is cucumbers and peppers.
Okay.
Okay, I could see that working.
So you're getting the whole salad.
I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to logistically think of cucumbers and peppers hanging off of a vertical board.
I was just going to say to our listeners, go to this website because there's a sweet picture on there under their farm about the vertical farming that is really cool. It shows the light coming on the plants as well. It's not what I expected.
And since you're in Iowa, you need cheese on your salad and ranch. So you got the cheese at the dairy, and now you need to find a way to brew some ranch up.
Yeah. Brew some ranch. We can send you up to BW Fusion and have
Michelle Wells. What put is that what is the? You can make your own ranch. What is it like? Yeah, butter and milk.
It's one pack of ranch seasoning.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Okay.
Yeah,
exactly
and the groceries are grown at the grocery store.
Yeah. So the cool thing is one of the cool things I think is how close. So our average food miles for the customers is like 4.7 miles. So that's food miles, meaning where the location is, where your food's grown, from where you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, other stuff you get in the grocery store, it's from
absolutely
hundreds, who knows where.
Thousands, maybe.
And it's a week old by the time it gets to your store or shelf or to your fridge. This is, you know, I harvested this at 2 o'clock, and now it's, I think, 4 o'clock. Or I don't know what time it is. But
so you're literally less than 5 miles. A majority of your product is less than 5 miles from your farm.
That's just for the Ames customers. And the Des Moines customers, I think the average is 37. But that's because they're in Des Moines.
I think this could be
his name.
What?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I've been outed.
What?
So that is my name.
Okay.
Actually, funny story.
All right, so we just scrolled down the website and found a very... appealing picture of Huey.
We need to redo that one.
But it doesn't say Huey.
It does not say Huey. Is that your American name, Huey?
That's my Dutch name, actually.
So how do you say that?
Heert.
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 Heert?
Heert.
I would have.
How do you say the last name, then? I'm curious.
Boulin.
Boulin.
Heert. Boulin.
How do you say it? How do most people? Bolin, probably?
Yeah. That's how I would have said
Bolin.
It.
Bolin.
Or Huey be cool. It's way easier than...
Right?
All right, let me try. Heert. Heert.
Hit?
Boulin.
Hit. Like hear. Hear.
Hear it.
Hear it.
Hear it. On this podcast. Hit. You have hear it on the podcast.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Wow. I squirreled right there.
With a G. With a G.
So that is... G-E-E-R-T. So in the Netherlands, you get a calling name and birth names. So I have 4 birth names. And then hit, my calling name.
So what is a calling name? So that's like if they...
That's hit.
So but I mean, what is a calling name? Like they call, that's what they tell you to come to jury duty with or what?
No,
why
like,
they call it a calling name?
Just like, I don't know. That's what your parents call you. Or your friends call
you. And so you have 4 birth names. How does that work?
Well, one plus two.
One plus three.
Well, I mean, like maybe one parent wanted you to be named Huey. The other parent wanted you to be named Dave. Your grandpa wanted you to be named this.
Corey.
Yeah.
Heck of a combination.
Huh.
Now, my full name is Gerardus Henricus Johannes Maria Bullen.
Wow.
That's the intro right there.
That is awesome.
That is the intro to this. Do it again.
You could like turn girls on with that. Say that again.
It's just eye roll.
She doesn't look very turned on.
The biggest eye roll.
It's Gerardus Henricus Johannes Maria Bullen.
Oh, that's
my full name.
I shouldn't say it's funny. Like, that's awesome.
Like that, so that's my birth names. That was on my birth certificate and on my Dutch passport as well.
Huh.
And for here, to keep it easy, I just use my first two middle names to keep it easy. Gerardus Henricus.
That's still not
easy. It's not easy, but...
I can see why you just went with Huey Be Cool for
TikTok.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Keep it simple. Don't think about it.
That's funny.
Just follow.
That's cool, though. Like, I mean, we don't get a chance to, like... hear other people's cultures and things like that. So that's pretty neat.
As I said, it's going to be the new favorite episode.
Yeah, I think it will be.
I guarantee it.
With that and your large TikTok audience, I'm sure you've got to meet a lot of really cool people. One of the things we like to ask, just one of those canned questions for each show, is who's been one or some of the coolest people you've met throughout, well, I'm going to call it fame to begin with, and just your growing network of obviously, world traveling and what you've done through entrepreneurship. Anybody pop right into mind? Some pretty cool people you've met?
Yeah. There's this lady named Olympia Yarger in Australia.
She sounds awesome already.
Yeah. She's a... So she retrofits shipping containers to reduce waste. Mm-hmm. So to eat for black soldier fly larvae to eat waste.
Yeah, so, a shipping container.
In a shipping container, and it can do 5 tons of food waste a day. And this is in Australia. God. Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy cool business. Annie and I met her, and I've met with her twice, and like in Australia at her place, been to her farm and stuff, and it's just amazing woman. And that was through entrepreneurship journey here at Iowa State, which also it was through a ticket that I through an investors conference that I went through AGEI, Ag Entrepreneurship Initiative, again. So big plug for them.
So a lot of what you're doing sounds like or people that you've met maybe overseas were maybe more eco-friendly and or lower your eco-footprint type deal if we're trying to get rid of manure or grow lettuce locally so that we can get it within 5 miles or something like that. Is that something that is bigger overseas than it is in the United States?
So you're asking if the United States is like a giant polluter
is other countries, so since you've been all over the world, do other countries maybe hold it higher than we do right now? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, so like this lady Olympia Yarger, she is very stern on, you know, climate change and, you know, we have to save water any second we can and, you know, all that stuff.
Well, even from moving over here when they were going to reduce cattle on your home farm in the Netherlands, that makes me think that they were reducing their carbon footprint.
Yeah, it's for sure a big topic all over the world. And it's for sure going to become a big topic here, I think, as well.
So this is intriguing to me, Olympia's business idea. So basically she's going to take, the goal is to take my waste, my...
like restaurant food waste or correct. Grocery store's food waste.
And
McDonald's coffee grounds.
And flies or larvae are...
eat the waste.
Gonna take care of it.
And will be turned into livestock feed. So it's turned into livestock feed. That's the end product for her.
Dude, it's bugs in a big jug.
It's bugs in a big box.
In a big box.
Bugs in a container.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
And that's intriguing. Because I think you could do it on a large scale and they could be eating manure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was looking at.
There's dairy farms that have pilots with black soldier fly larvae that they eat like 90% of their solid manure.
Obviously, they eat and process and produce waste. Also, so is it a reduction factor?
Yeah.
So that 80% means that they only have to move 20% of what they used to. Do you just, the farm just covered in flies then? Or is it a controlled environment for the flies?
I don't know the like specifics of this study, and this is something anecdotal that I heard, but I would assume it'd be something that's contained. Yeah, yeah, because otherwise, yeah, you'd have flies everywhere.
And if you think of like the larvae, like they're not a larvae very long. They just eat.
Yep.
And then they turn into fly, and then they poop.
Well, the thing, the larvae, they're harvested right before they turn into a fly, because there's actually a way where black soldier fly larvae, they can harvest themselves. So if you have, because they go to a higher spot to become a fly. So if you have something set up where there's like bins in the bottom, and you have a ramp that goes up, and then a little boop where they fall down to the bucket.
That's where they go.
They harvest themselves.
And then they're saying that's the protein then that gets fed to livestock.
Yeah, and that gets dried out, you know, frozen probably to kill them, which they'll just be going into hibernation. Mm-hmm. So they'll go to sleep. It's a peaceful death.
Man, there's some cool stuff out there.
I know. This is not at all where I thought this episode was going to go.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So, the bug world, that's a whole different world. Like a whole, it's up and coming as well, and for sure don't want to turn a blind eye to it, and I want to keep being a part of it and stuff. So
you met Olympia, right? Olympia is her name?
Yep.
Anybody else comes to mind?
Well, we met some really cool people just in Hawaii. We met some really cool people.
Another place that's really cramped for space. I looked up the Netherlands. The Netherlands is smaller than the
half
population.
The size of Maine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not big at all.
17 million people. Yeah.
Well, I guess I could have asked you. Why would I Google it? I got the man sitting right
the
here.
Expert right here.
That's all right. It's all right.
Sweet. What's the nutrient film technology? I know when we were talking about Nebulum that didn't come out.
So that's where water pretty much the roots. There's a grodan, what it's called, which is a rock wool made. Growing substance where you put a little seed in, water, and it germinates. And then the roots will go through the grodan. You set this grodan into a little channel, and the channel has water running through on the bottom of it at all times. Like it just rolls through it all the time. And that's how the roots suck up the water.
Mm-hmm.
So they always have water. It's always running. And that's how it's a closed loop pretty much, unless you have leaks, which sometimes have leaks, but, you know. So it's a closed loop, and that's why the way we farm, we use about 95% less water than like regular methods of farming.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So not only are you better allocating the space by going vertical, but you're also being more cognizant of the resources such as water.
Yeah.
And I imagine, you know, doing it that way, you are, like Tanner said, precision. You know exactly how much each head of lettuce needs for nutrients, right?
Yeah.
So you're not applying like, well, we might apply 200 pounds of nitrogen on a corn crop. Yeah, it doesn't need that, but that's because it's not going to get to it all.
Right.
So
data is the currency of lettuce.
Yeah. So we try to, we control pH and electrical EC, electrical conductivity.
Yep.
For the plants, and then and we actually have we just installed an auto dozer as well. So now anytime, which is pretty cool, and so now anytime we need extra nutrients, it just.
Why don't we give our last beer of the day a try here?
All right, I like the name of this one. It's a Ripple. I don't know if I'm saying this right. It's German. Kölsch Ale. Is that how you say that?
Kölsch, I believe. Yeah.
Kölsch, yeah. It's Kölsch? Beaver Island Kölsch. Brewing. Beaver Island Brewing, a damn fine beer, it says. German style ale.
Crisp golden ale brewed with the finest of hops in our sister city, Spalt, Germany. Say Prost to an original twist on this was a gift from our sponsor, Gierenhoff.
Oh, thank you, Gierenhoff. It's rich.
Yeah, thank you, so I didn't have to say Dole or Dahl again.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
it's rich.
That's a good beer.
It's Beaver Island.
So I'm assuming you're fully, you can speak full Dutch. Is that?
Yes.
And then do you know any other languages?
English.
Besides, wow.
Really?
Really?
Touché.
I know a little bit of Spanish as well.
A little bit of Spanish.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Like a tiny bit of French.
I mean, because like you would never,
negligible.
Talking to you, I would never think that you came from another country. I mean, you don't have that dialect or anything like that. So
I would agree. When you said your name, that was kind of the first real taste of
Dutch.
Me thinking, oh, wow.
Of an accent, yeah.
Or post.
Because I'm not going to lie.
That's how you say it in Dutch, too.
Post. Okay.
Up until recently, I didn't really even know you were from the Netherlands.
I didn't either.
But what else don't we know about Huey? What are some hobbies of yours? What do you do? What do you do when you're not making TikToks?
Do you play guitar? Do you?
Yes, I do have a guitar.
Oh, you what? Ding dong!
He has a guitar. Do
I
you
have
play
a guitar? Exactly. So I actually just pulled it out last night for the first time again in like 2 years. So yeah, I have a guitar and I plan to play a little bit more every day. So that's one thing I'll be doing for sure. So
cool.
And then been trying to improve on reading and finishing books.
Wow.
Because I just never really had the patience to actually sit down for a book and read it and finish it. So
you still do a lot of running?
No.
did you just get burnt out from, because you said you ran in college, right?
Yeah. It kind of burnt me out a little bit from running. We did a lot of running on concrete and gravel roads, and just it wasn't fun. And I signed my letter of intent, which I actually just found out last night. I didn't sign the letter of intent, just took the picture.
Oh.
But signed my letter of intent with a different coach than who I actually ran with. So it was just like a kind of a bad experience. And I got my knees were turned out. I did too much running and not enough biking, because like there's two muscles on the side of your leg, right? If one of them's too strong, it's going to pull your patella tendon to the one side, and then your patella tendon, like, it doesn't like click exactly in the right place, and it's kind of off a little bit, so it locks every time. So
patella, kneecap.
Patellar tendonitis.
Ah.
So that's what happened in community college, so I had to deal with that during track, and that kind of just soured the experience for me a little bit.
Yeah.
I kind of got back into running for like a little bit, a couple like weeks, but then again, my knees were just shot, and I was like, I can't do this. So just kind of taking it easy. Might get back into
balance.
It, but yeah.
Blade. You guys better take a break. Take a leak.
All right, and we're back.
Was I the only one that peed?
No, I peed too.
Okay, good.
Yeah, this was a needed break. That's pretty good. Hopefully, listeners, you took a break too. Well, we got to put it together. But we're back here with Huey Be Cool, or Kierert. Kierert.
Kierertis.
I like it. Got to roll the R.
Nice.
Learn something every day.
I didn't have a clue where this episode was going to go, and it's taken a very pleasant turn, in my opinion. I've never heard anything about this.
It's almost a profit show, but fun.
Oh, I think we had way more fun than the way shows.
We like learn like super tech stuff, but fun.
Yes.
All right. I got a couple questions to wrap up with. So anybody wanting to grow a TikTok following or grow a social media following? Obviously, you kind of mentioned that you got a little bit lucky with some of those videos, the one that had no captions and whatnot. But there was a lot of strategy that went into 1.7 million plus in followers. Besides just commenting back, any other tips, advice?
Post a lot.
So how much is a lot? Because Corey and I talked about trying to do daily.
Yeah.
What's a lot?
Ooh, daily? I don't think daily is a lot.
Okay. Well, it is to me. I mean,
Someone said it has something to do more to do with consistency.
Yeah.
Like if you post three times a day, post three times a day.
Yeah. Basically, like I really didn't put much thought like, oh, okay, today I need to post 25 videos or else I'm going to be stressing out at night.
Holy
you know,
cow.
Like I'd never really thought about that. But the most I put out in one day was 36 videos.
Oh, my goodness.
Crap.
Which I know people who put out like 200 videos a day, which is insane. Like,
I look at some of these accounts and I see like video after video of the same outfit or whatever.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. Well, I mean, I do that because I wear, I'd say post a lot is one big tip, I would say. And comment on other videos on the For You page, because I notice that a lot too. People will comment on my video or reply to my comment saying, oh, I see you comment on every video. I'm like, oh, I know.
It's all the algorithm.
I never thought about that. My wife might not be very happy though if I comment on every video on my For You page.
I mean, not every video, but
it's kind of crazy.
If you find an interesting video, comment something interesting, you know, or whatever.
That's a good point.
It's funny. Some of my friends on TikTok that aren't like a little bit bigger, they don't have content or whatever, but they'll still watch and send videos. If I just watched a video, then like 5 or 10 minutes later, they'll send it to me, and I've already liked it. And it's like, you freaking algorithm, you know it too well.
Or
it's scary.
We send each other videos all the time, and she'll send me a video, Annie will send me a video, and then I'll be like, ha, check the comments, because it'll be my comment will be there or something, because I've already commented in there. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty
funny. I posted that on LinkedIn 3 days ago.
Yeah, I heard that.
Uh-huh. LinkedIn is dead.
I saw that you posted that video.
Oh,
that was good. Yeah. I didn't click on it, though, because it was LinkedIn.
Because it was LinkedIn.
So then the last question we usually ask all of our listeners, I want to change it. We normally say, out of the most successful farmers that you know, what do they all have in common? But I want to know what you think the best trait your dad, your parents had. Because obviously something... To travel from the Netherlands to the United States to start a dairy from scratch, basically, and still be in operation. You know, this didn't just fail after 2 years. To still be operational. What do you think made them successful during that process?
Well, they're very risk-taking. You know, they risk-loving, I guess you would say, because there's risk-averse and there's risk-loving. Very risk-loving.
They embrace it.
Yeah, and this... I mean, and they work hard, obviously. My dad gets up before 5 every day, so, and there's not many days where he doesn't.
That's a requirement of a dairy farmer.
Right. Oh,
yeah. I mean, it's just, it's for dairy farming, it's normal, but, no, it takes take a lot of that, I think, is hard work and being able to, or being willing to take risks, I would say, one of the big traits.
So I got one last question for you.
All right.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I always said astronaut when I was a little kid, but looking back, like, and that kind of faded away when I was growing up, but now, you know, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, they're astronauts.
Sure.
Yeah. Sky high. No. Let's see.
And that's cool to be a farm kid that isn't set on just going back to the farm. There's nothing wrong with growing the family farm.
Nope.
And continuing a tradition, but also having your options open that might, in a roundabout way, be a way to contribute back to the family farm, too. Yeah.
I tend to think it'll be something entrepreneurial because you sound like quite a motivated individual. So kudos to you and whatever you do.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome. And thank you so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate it. I know it wasn't that far of a trek, but being the first verified.
It's worth the journey.
Guest on the podcast and for bringing, I cannot wait to eat a salad. I don't know if I've ever said that out loud, but I cannot wait.
It's not something I thought we'd get as like a podcast swag gift.
Right.
Like, what did you get? I got a shirt. I got a sweatshirt.
Got a head of lettuce.
Got a head of lettuce, man.
Uh-huh.
Ding dong.
Heck yeah.
Thank you to Dole.
Dole.
Thank you to Gerenhof, Ag Leader. BW Fusion for hanging out with us, listeners.
And Huey Be Cool.
And Huey. Look them up. Thank find them out there. I didn't realize you had a Twitter. So what's your Twitter handle?
At Huey Boulin, B-O-E-L-E-N. That's the same for all platforms, except Huey Would Be Cool on TikTok.
Awesome.
So,
very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us, listeners. Thank you again for tuning into our episode. Corey, why don't you say we wrap this up?
Yep. Crack a beer, mix a drink. You deserve it.
Intro music recorded by Tyler Richton and the High Bank Boys. Commentary added by Elena Montemagni. And credit to bensound.com for music.
And you also can't forget Ag Leader.
That's right.
We got to read that.
No, you don't have to read
it. You don't have to.
Cut this out, Tanner. I got a legit question. Are we supposed to read this or are we supposed to say something?
You can do whatever you want to. That's a base for Ag Leader.
It's up for them. Okay.